Fortnite.
Yeah, they're big in video games.
Yeah.
What else? What else does your people enjoy?
Is that peace and quiet?
Peace and quiet.
I'll take a peace and some noise over peace and quiet.
Some peace and some noise?
Is that a piece?
Oh, there we go. Okay.
A little turn of phrase there.
Okay.
Okay, fair point here on the Harbaugh rebuttal, where I was like, I think I've softened on Harbaugh. Ted Bear on Twitter saying, dude was about to change his religion last week. Now he doesn't want Harbaugh.
That's a good point. Is another fan of flip-flops have been happening lately?
No. I'm simply saying I'm not going Catholic for John Harbaugh now. I'm not. If I go Catholic, it's because I wanted to go Catholic.
So what changed? I need to know what changed.
I think it's just time. Like, I think it was, okay, it's a big name. It's out there. And you realize he's 63. So he's probably not going to have the job for more than 5 to 7 years. He is a good coach. But also, he's only really had success in the one place. In fairness, it's because he was in 18 years. And, like, I think he's going to command a lot of power, which he's never had. So that is a new norm for him. So you're like, there's only so much you can do to get somebody to come here. If the copious amount of money and the owner that's going to give you every cent that you possibly want to succeed, if that and firing the GM isn't enough, I don't know what I got for you, bub.
I don't know. It does kind of sound like maybe now you are protecting your feelings a little bit.
Not really. I'm really okay if John Harbaugh doesn't choose here.
Well, I mean, I think we all have to come to the understanding that you're going to have to learn how to become okay with it, because it seems more likely than not that he's not going to come here.
Because I think, like, we go, like, in this current situation, I don't really need Tommy Reese back, but if it happens, that's fine in some role. Jim Schwartz back. I do. Within reason, I need Jim Schwartz back. And I've seen too many people go, well, but how many times does it happen? Well, how many times does a defensive coordinator, I think you made this point yesterday, yeah, defensive coordinator with a top five defense have their head coach get fired? So I think really the only thing you're missing from this component is the offense. And if to get the offense or to get the team success, you throw out the defense, you're setting yourself back. This defense is incredible. The one thing that Barry's done really well is equip the talent to this defense. This is a wide nine roster. Even if you go to other variations of the four-man front defensive lines, it's going to be a little bit of a change.
Yeah, and this is where it's funny. I always see people on the old internet talking about, like, oh, well, anybody would have success with Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward. It's like, did you not watch Joe Woods? Like, we have proof that you can have the talent that this Browns defense had and get nowhere close to the results that Jim Schwartz got. And so, like, it's obviously very valuable now, but this is one of the concerns I have with Jim Schwartz even being named the head coach, by the way, where he stays here, but then he's not the same Jim Schwartz.
So while we talked to Albert Breer just a few moments ago, we did ask him if there's a leader in the Browns clubhouse 8 days into this search.
You look at, like, their group and what they're trying to do. I mean, clearly they're trying to think creatively here, try to make sure that they're looking under rocks that other people aren't looking under. You know, in a year where Jesse Minter has 8 requests, right? Like, every team requested. Jeff Hafley, I think, has 6. Like, there are just a lot. Yeah, you know, there's a lot out there as far as, you know, like, this coach has 5, this coach has 6, this coach has 7. So you got all that. And, like, so there's going to be a lot of repetitive interviews and everything else. Like, I think the Browns have sort of taken it upon themselves to try to be creative with this. You know, you can't be as public about it, but have they been looking at college coaches? That's also something, you know, like, that for the sake of the college coaches can't be out there, but it's another rock for you to look under. So I don't think that they're at the point where they have any sort of favorite or anything like that, but I do think they're trying really, really hard to keep an open mind here, which I think their interview list shows you that they are doing that.
Love to hear they're casting a wide net. Put that college rock down. Don't look under it.
Yeah,
you don't need to. I've seen it. I've watched it up close with Matt Rhule in Carolina. College coaches, and people are going to say, Jimmy Johnson, guys, it was 40 years ago. He's the anomaly. Pete Carroll was an NFL coach, head coach twice over before he went to USC. There's a third. Jim Harbaugh was a NFL assistant before going to college at San Diego, where he became the head coach there. He was also a decade-long NFL quarterback starting in the NFL. Those are not college coaches.
Yeah, we got a lot more Matt Rhules on the list than we do anything else.
And guys, I got to tell you, the Matt Rhule thing was really bad. That's how it mostly goes, because it's the same as Steve Spurrier. These guys don't understand how to coach pros. I'm not saying there aren't guys that could do it. I'm saying it is the biggest risk you could take, more so than even going after a 30-year-old, hadn't even called play, was apparently barely involved in the Jaguars' offense
Albert
this year.
Really threw down Grant Udinski. Like, he was complimentary the way that you can be when talking about somebody, but I was even surprised at how he spoke about Grant. Because it felt like Grant Udinski was kind of gaining some steam over the past couple days as just being at least interesting, as being somebody that everyone thinks is going to get a head job at some point. He's like, no, he didn't do anything with the offense. Like, that's a very hands-on offense with Liam Cohen. Like, that's not that you're giving him way too much credit way too early.
It's weird because I'm more comfortable with Grant Udinski than I am Dan Pitcher.
That is a little odd. I think they fall in the same bucket. It's not like I can say much about Dan Pitcher. I get the same things. Everyone in Cincinnati says he should be a head coach. He's going to be a head coach. He's just 8 years older is the only difference.
So I think Pitcher is going to be the leader in the clubhouse. I have a really bad feeling that this job was rigged for a buddy of Andrew Berry. And I if it comes to fruition, it's going to be hard for me to shake that feeling. That's not what this job should be to me. But we'll see. I do want to give them time, and I want to give time to hear more about Dan Pitcher and all these other people.
You can at least
right?
build out a staff with Dan Pitcher. I think the worry with like a Udinski is that he's so young and so new to the NFL and so new to life that he wouldn't even be able to round out a staff.
Oh, I think you keep Schwartz, and I think
you definitely
probably
keep Schwartz. That's the idea with any of these young guys, these young offensive coordinator guys, whether it's Pitcher, whether it's Udinski, these guys, is that you keep Schwartz.
I think Josh McCown becomes your offensive coordinator, and then I think you probably bring in a former NFL head coach to be like a senior assistant. And it probably does fit the likes of like A.J. Gruden. I'm not saying Jay Gruden, but like A.J. Gruden, who can be there to kind of, for Grant to kind of lean on in those moments.
Yeah.
But at least in there, here's why. Grant's success has come with Sam Darnold in Minnesota and Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
He's watched two different staffs build an offense and win copious amounts of game. Whether he was the guy calling the plays or how involved he was or not, around quarterbacks who it's really hard to win with in any environment, let alone do it once, right? In the perfect environment. Dan Pitcher has been the quarterback's coach and non-play caller for Joe Burrow.
I know, what are
you learning there?
Yeah.
Hey, Shador, when you go out there, can you be like Joe Burrow?
Also, like looking at Jerry Jeudy being like, why aren't you Jamar Chase?
Yeah.
That one's tough.
Hey, you're about 4 inches shorter than T. Higgins. Could you grow a little bit for
me? Every play I call up for Jamar, he seems to get open. Why don't you get open the same way?
And so it's just, and again, I'm not saying he'd be a bad hire because you just don't know. But I think to circle back to the Mike McDaniel thing, I think this guy's a good head coach. I don't know he's a great head coach, but I'm comfortable with him and what I know he can do on offense. Pieces or no pieces. And the only unknown here is I've never seen him with a truly elite defense like Jim Schwartz has and Mike McDaniel, as opposed to what feels like you could get a year into Grant Udinski and just realize, well, hired him a year too early. Guess we got to go.
Well, and at that point, Barry might be fired by, I don't know, week 8, week 9.
Which I think is when the disaster really strikes. You can't, this next coach has to be, you have to have another 5-year coach here at the very least.
Well, I mean, it's on the table. That's what I'm trying to figure out too with Barry. Is he, you know, because if you hire somebody like a McDaniel, for instance, you know, I don't know, he might end up getting fired week 7, week 8, regardless if it starts off poorly. But you feel like the runway would be longer with someone like that. Where if it's just an abject failure from Jump Street and you went with Dan Pitcher, I mean, you and Pitcher are both packing your bags.
216-474-0092. Are the Browns going about this search the right way? More on that, more from Albert Breer, the future of the Browns, the future of Kevin Stefanski as well, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.